What should you eat and how much should you eat during pregnancy? Let's find out. Welcome to 9 Minutes to Better Health, a podcast series that breaks down real science for you to use in your daily life. G'day, I'm Dr. Nick Fuller. I'm an obesity expert from the University of Sydney and RPA Hospital. In my 15 years in the field, I've seen, heard, and helped people from every demographic. And I've seen, heard, and observed every fad diet and weight loss diet that exists. And here's the thing, they all work short term, but then the weight comes back. This is particularly relevant when it comes to today's chat on pregnancy, because having kids makes it even harder to manage your weight. The truth about obesity is it's a multifaceted problem. And on 9 Minutes to Better Health, I arm you with the science that you can use every day to answer important questions. Each podcast, I tackle the latest research on interesting health and wellness subjects. I'll chat about topics like, what's the best time of day to exercise? What can I do to speed up my metabolism? And what should you eat to age gracefully, which is a topic we tackled last week, so make sure to go back and listen. But back to today's chat, what should you eat and how much should you eat during pregnancy? What you eat during pregnancy is not only important for your own health, it also supplies the nutrition your baby needs to develop and grow. There's an abundance of research on this topic because your diet will have an effect on your baby's immediate and long-term health, as well as your own. The research highlights three key points to discuss, including nutritional requirements, expected weight gain, and high-risk foods to avoid. Let's jump into the literature to discuss this in greater detail. The first one is nutritional requirements. This is the most important of the three, because the research clearly shows that the nutrients you consume during pregnancy are the biggest determinant of your health and your baby's health, both during the pregnancy and after birth. The first nutrient we're going to discuss is folate. You'll find this in foods like dark green leafy veggies and whole grain carbs. But the requirements before and during pregnancy for this vitamin go up significantly, so you will need a folate supplement. Multiple research trials show you need 400 micrograms every day from when you're attempting to conceive until you're 12 weeks pregnant to ensure the healthy development of the spine and brain in the baby. Not everyone plans their pregnancy, so it's important in this instance to be taking a folate supplement from the time you know you are and to ensure you're getting enough folate from the diet by including plenty of sources of whole grain breads and cereals. The second one is the omega-3s. These are essential fats which our body needs for healthy brain and eye development, and the best source is fish. You can also get it from plant sources such as nuts and seeds, but converting the plant source of omega-3 to its usable form is an inefficient process in the body. Getting enough omega-3s by including a couple of servings of fish in your diet each week will also lower your risk of your baby being born too early and low birth weight. By including a few fish meals every week, you'll also ensure you get enough iodine in your diet, another important nutrient of concern during pregnancy, as it's responsible for the development of a healthy thyroid in your baby. While research shows that mercury levels should be kept to a minimum in pregnancy, we know that the need for getting enough omega-3 and iodine is more important. As such, the best thing to do is keep eating fish. With the deep sea predators like shark, the fish in most fish and chips, and swordfish, to about once a fortnight with no other fish that week. Canned tuna is perfectly fine to have, and a great lunch to have with some brown rice, whole grain crackers, and salad. Next is calcium. This is needed for the development of strong bones and teeth in your baby, and the best absorbed source of calcium comes from dairy or suitable plant-based non-dairy alternatives like calcium-fortified soy milk. When it comes to quantity, you need 3 serves per day, with an example serve being a 200-gram tub of yogurt. But your body also needs vitamin D to absorb the calcium from the food, and this vitamin comes from the sun. Get outdoors each day for some exercise, as just 10 to 15 minutes a day in summer is plenty to meet your vitamin D requirements. Lastly, iron. This is needed to make red blood cells, which carry oxygen in your baby's blood. The requirement goes up during pregnancy, but you can get enough from your diet if you're including a couple of serves of red meat each week. For non-red meat eaters, an iron supplement is necessary. When it comes to iodine, calcium, and iron, you may need supplements to meet your requirements, particularly if you don't eat much fish, red meat, or dairy. However, there is some research to show that too much of some of these nutrients can be harmful. So don't just willy-nilly pop pills down your throat. Talk to your GP for advice. The last thing the literature highlights is the importance of diet quality. Outcomes from pregnancy are far better for the newborn if they've been receiving the nutrition they need throughout the full term. You should never diet or deprive yourself of food during pregnancy. It's only going to result in worse outcomes for the baby and problems for you as you recover. You may not notice any change in your appetite during the first two trimesters. However, you most definitely will during the third trimester from week 28 onwards, when your baby grows a lot faster and lays down stores of fat. This is the time when you're going to need 1 1/3 times the quantity of food you typically eat. But most of your food needs to be wholesome food, naturally found in the environment. The processed fast food that we've increasingly become reliant on must be the once per week occurrence, not the everyday. For more help on dealing with food cravings during pregnancy, make sure to check out the show notes. The second consideration during pregnancy relates to the expected weight gain, and this is one of the biggest challenges for women. There's data to show that 40% of women fear weight gain in pregnancy, and 2/3 fear that they will be unable to return to their pre-pregnancy weight. But it is healthy and expected to put on weight as a normal part of pregnancy. Here's a guide for what you can expect to put on. If you're overweight at the time of conception, which is where most of us fall, a weight gain of 9 kilograms over the pregnancy is healthy and expected. If you fall pregnant in a healthy weight range, you can expect an even greater weight gain during pregnancy of approximately 12.5 kilograms, with most of this weight being gained after 20 weeks. By the time you reach your due date, more than 1/3 of your extra weight will come from your baby, about 3.3 kilograms, the placenta, approximately 0.7 kilograms, and amniotic fluid, about 0.8 kilograms. But your body also changes to help grow and nourish your body, which accounts for the other 2/3 of expected weight gain. You will see an increase in breast size, increased blood volume, extra body fluid, a bigger uterus, and 4 kilograms of fat to give you energy supplies for breastfeeding. If you keep up your daily exercise and make healthy food choices, it doesn't matter what you gain while pregnant. You can let your incredible body look after yourself. After you've safely delivered a healthy bub and recovered, you will then see your weight slowly go back to its pre-pregnancy weight, and this usually takes about 6 months. Clinical trials have shown that breastfeeding women can lose the weight quicker than those who feed their baby formula. Whatever you do, just don't panic and start dieting. You'll only end up heavier in the long run. Trust me, I've seen the repercussions of this from working with patients for the past 15 years. The last consideration during pregnancy is foods to avoid. There's no need to become fixated on what you should and shouldn't eat during pregnancy, but there are a couple of high-risk foods that you should avoid to reduce the risk of pregnancy complications. Rather than rattle off an exhaustive list now, you can find this detail in the show notes. The issue is bacteria, and anything more prone to growing bacteria becomes a high-risk food. Listeria and Salmonella are two types of bacteria that can cause miscarriage, stillbirth, or premature birth. And it's not an issue if you cook the foods. Just don't go eating raw eggs, raw seafood, raw meat, or deli meats. And it's best to leave anything pre-made or pre-cut on the shelves. For example, sushi, sandwiches, fruit and salads, and raw bean sprouts. Cooking food at risk of contamination kills off the bacteria and makes it safe to eat. For example, eggs, soft cheese, fish and meat. And if you wish to eat foods like sushi, salads and sandwiches, you need to prepare the foods from scratch yourself. And you can still have cheese, but it needs to be hard cheese such as cheddar instead of soft cheeses like brie, camembert, ricotta or feta. My advice. Firstly, you need to take a folate supplement before and during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. Other supplements for iodine, iron and calcium may be needed, particularly if you're following a vegetarian or vegan diet, so make sure to discuss this with your GP. Secondly, don't restrict your food consumption during pregnancy. It will have long-term repercussions for you and your baby's health. And lastly, your food consumption will need to increase, particularly during the third trimester, and you should be eating 1 1/3 times what you typically do. My take-home message: how you look after your body and what you put into your body during pregnancy will influence your child's health, both immediate and long-term. If you need help with your diet, seek help from healthcare professionals, such as accredited practicing dietitians, and make sure to check out the show notes for support. That's all for today, so please give us a like and share with others if you're enjoying the content, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated. The information provided in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It does not substitute professional medical advice or consultations with healthcare professionals.